You're listening to It's Casual with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, we're all in the house. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to It's Casual Show. This is your boy, Case, a.k.a. Face, the man, the dream, the greatest red ever. Next to this left is the man that we call Cheese. What's going on, Cheese? You good?
Good. Tired.
Traffic good.
Rough. L.A. traffic is...
I don't take that as an excuse no more.
No?
No. No. Next to Cheese is my girl, my sister, Amani, a.k.a. Prezi, in the house representing MULA, the president. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yes.
I don't know about Prezi, though, but I'm doing all right.
Big show. Big, you don't like that one? You don't like that title?
I don't know. I just don't know about it.
Okay, we're gonna take it to that. And across from me is Germ. Germ, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
How's everybody feeling? And, of course, in Atlanta, it's the man. Are you in ATL?
All right. I don't live in Atlanta.
That's one.
The club is in Atlanta. I live like 20 minutes.
Okay, I figured that. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. The Lakers are in ninth with 36 wins.
Why are you doing this? Losses.
All right. I said how you are, Mike.
10 games behind. Let's go. What a show.
All right, so this show's not about the Lakers, obviously.
Anthony Davis on fire, though. Just saying.
It's a good show today.
We came on last week talking about the Georgia Bulldogs, and I wasn't having it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did go there, Georgia Bulldogs. I did talk about the Georgia Bulldogs. So I deserve that. I deserve that. So everybody's in a good space today, coming off a big win, huge win against Everton. But I want to ask some questions here for Amani.
Okay.
Amani, is this your third year as the press?
Oh, I don't know. I've just been around.
You've just been around?
I just do stuff.
You just do stuff?
Yeah, I just take care of stuff.
Oh, okay. So there's no, like, titles or nothing like that, because I assumed it was. So
the club has an official charter, and there are people. You know, you have to put some names on paper.
Oh, I get it.
And
I get
my
it.
Name is on the paper.
I got
but,
it.
I got you.
Yeah,
just to be official with the club.
I got you.
Yeah.
I respect that. Then I respect that. So it's more like everybody just pulls their weight and helps out.
Absolutely.
You know, that's how our government should be.
Yeah, good luck
it
with that.
It would work better.
And on that note, with Prezi, the old Prezi money from Arsenal Man U, pay the lady.
Yeah.
Don't make us have to come hunt you down.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
You will lose your name.
And all Odo going to come the day of the game, talk about, hey, you have any ticket left
exactly.
over?
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. So how's it feel to be part of, you know, the leadership of the greatest support group in the United States?
You got that right.
How many people, how long has it been, how long have we been recognized by the club and all that?
So officially, the club started here in L.A. somewhere around 2010. Mm-hmm. You had guys like Gabriel Moya.
Shout out to Gabe.
Will Quadros, who's moved to the Texas area. And a couple of people who were around, Fernando Fuentes, were there when I was in there. They started around 2010. I believe I started coming around 2015, give or take. King's Head. Shout out to old King's Head. That closed down.
Been there one time.
Yeah. So the club's been around a while. So 2010 makes it what? 14 years by my math. So it's been going around for a long time. Officially recognized by the club 2018. Official charter with all the perks that come along with it. So
I love the perks. I act a fool at the perk events.
We all do.
So when you deal with them, is it difficult? Do they have a lot of requirements? Is it hard to become recognized as a club? Do they put you through the ringer? Is that a good term to say?
Yes.
A little bit. I mean, you have to have an official charter, say, the goal of the club and where you meet, and, you know, so you put some things together. You have to have a minimum, back then, 50 members to be able to be recognized as an official supporters club. And you have to have a chairman, vice chairman, secretary, treasurer, all that good stuff. They did require, they've kind of loosened the requirements a little bit, but you had to, you know, end of year, provide like a statement of accounts, like if you were charging membership for people, you know, which we do. You have to show where all the money is going and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So when I took over, obviously coming from a business background, being a business owner, I made all that very official. Very, you know, we registered as a 501c charity because we want to be able to do things. We've done when we were Rocco's, we did the drive.
I collected clothes for the homeless.
Exactly.
That was an excellent thing.
Yeah, so we want to be able to do things like that more often. So we are fully registered. We have a business bank account. I make sure the taxes are done. So everything is an open book for anyone. Anyone wants to see where every penny is going.
You guys give out loans?
No, we don't.
But
the idea is to be able to. You know, I love it when kids come. You see me when kids come, people come. I run around. I have these little balls and things that I hand out. You know, you're introducing the next generation to United. And so, I use some of that money to buy all these little trinkets that I go around just handing out to people. But everything is open book. If anyone wants to ever look at anything, it's available. Yeah.
I love having the kids around. You know me. I think that's the big part of our club is to get them involved. You know, show them that it's a beautiful thing. And I love that there's a lot of family unity with our club. You see some of the same families come through and for years, you know, see kids grow up, you know, and I think it's a beautiful thing. How many support groups are recognized by the club? Would you know that answer?
Not off the top of my head. Something like last I checked was like 185 or something. Okay. That is all over the world. Oh. But this, in the last couple of years, they've gone, you know, full frontal and getting like more and more cities recognized. So,
Well, I think it's dope. I appreciate your work. I know it's hard work because we have a lot of different, you know, LA is a big place and people come, you know, it's not always the location. It's not always... What's the word?
Convenient
for everybody, but you have some people push it out there, and it's, you know, some people, you know, I'm blessed. It's a 10-15 minute thing. Some people come hours, you know what I'm saying?
Bakersfield,
India,
Riverside,
and all that. It's crazy.
Crazy.
You
know?
Yeah, that's mad.
Yeah.
Dedication. So I just want to know, give you your flowers. I appreciate the whole. I love y'all because the first day I showed up, I knew this was a place for me because I know I was a lonely red just bouncing around, going to the wrong spot. Like, wait a minute, there's too many blues colors around me around here. But when I found it at home, I was not. You couldn't tell me nothing. I didn't want to go nowhere else.
Do you feel like you're the only Manchester United fan in like Los Angeles? Like there was no one else but you.
To an extent, yes, because I wasn't part of the Facebook group or nothing like that, so I didn't. It was just Yardies. I would watch them, and some of my uncles and them is Arsenal. And I have uncles that love Liverpool, so it didn't mesh well.
That's my family.
It don't mesh well. So once I really got in that space, I was like, yes, this is it. You know, and you know me, I don't want to see no other groups around us. Like I don't want I'm glad we have our own pub. Yeah, we start trouble.
You have to remember, the pub is still a business.
I know. But listen, when they come and disrespect and bring their flags and start touching our flags,
Don't touch.
Yeah. All right, so shout out to Manish, our leadership. You guys do a great job. Any events? Anything you want to announce?
The next match is huge. FA Cup Sunday.
We're going to talk about that.
That's next event.
We're going to talk about that.
Next event, that's it.
Since you want to talk about matches now, Imani.
Yeah.
Everton. Let's not go too long. Mikey. Tell me, what was the vibe for you after you saw the Everton match? Well, let's go. Your expectations. Did you pretty much go the way you expected it, and the result, you pretty much felt that was going to be the result?
I felt like we would win. But with this team, you never know. You never know with this team. You never know what you're going to get. And the fact that we needed two penalties to win and we should have got a third, because that's definitely handball. Same old United, you know what I'm saying? Lackluster performance against a lower tier side. And we played a little better than we did against City, of course, but look at the opposition. So, listen, I'll take, like I said before, I will take 3 points however you give them to me. I am not an elitist. I will take 3 points however I can get them. I will take a smash and grab. I'll take Fergie time. I will take it. Hell, I'll take a charge for it. But
go ahead, Imani.
No, so, performance results aside, I have an issue with when people talk about winning by penalties. Because you have to earn the penalty. It means you're in the box, you're moving, you're attacking, you created a chance, and the defender messed up. So what's the issue with winning by penalties?
I pretty much thought this was one of the illest ways to win a game. I was at the bar going, if we would have got a third penalty, I'd have been walking around. Who else does that? Only United can get 3 penalties a win.
We should have had 4.
I was about to wear it as a badge of honor, mm-hmm. but the two I didn't wear as a badge of honor. I just felt that, you know, we were more aggressive at the right time, and there were 2 clear-cut penalties. I mean, mm-hmm. Jerm, what'd you think?
I thought it's kind of the same as Mike. I mean, there was nothing really to write home about the win. It was a sloppy type of game. We came away with the win. That's the most important thing. You came away with 3 points. There isn't anything in that game that told me otherwise of how I already know United's going to be. Not a team that can show a certain type of pattern of play. It's just very inconsistent.
We're consistently inconsistent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's just due to the players. Because the players that we have are just not up to those capabilities.
Players.
Yeah.
Players. Well, how you feel? How'd you feel? Well, we all watched it together, yeah. So.
I mean, look. To Mikey's point, 3 points is 3 points. I'll take 3 points anyhow we can get them.
Yeah, at this point, yes.
Yeah, and I just want the results, man. It's like, you have to grind out your results. So it's like, that is mission accomplished. Focus on your next game right now.
Yeah.
It's like, because during the game and immediately after the game, I was still thinking about the City loss. Like, I know we just got 3 points. Mad. But I was like, because all I was thinking was, yeah, you beat Everton, but like, even if you played like this last week, you were not going to win. You were not going to beat City playing the way you played Everton. So I was kissing my teeth after 3 points. Nah, I'm not going to lie. I was kissing my teeth.
What do you say, Mikey?
And that's why you gripe about how you score goals, because, and like earning a penalty, because it's like, this is Man United. We shouldn't have to. What if we don't get those penalties? How else do we score? How else do we score if we don't get them?
There's no way. There isn't anything that showed you in that
Arsenal
game.
Arsenal scoring 6 for fun. They're putting the guys to bed. 30 goals in 4 games or some crazy shit. Like, we need to be doing that if we're going to compete. But like I said, I'll take it however I can get it.
Is it still concerning to any of you that we're still not showing any progression?
Very.
Or is it something that we just be like, let's just get through the season. This is what it is. It's not going to get any better. Let me rephrase that question. Are you still looking for seeing some progression? You're like, it ain't going to happen.
I have given up hope at this point for like any type of progress, progression, improvement. Mm. Like, they look like they plateaued, they flatlined. Like, this is what you're going to get every week. Especially if you're not getting healthy guys back. Like, this is
what you're going to get. Jumping up. Yeah. Mikey and I debate about this a lot, Imani, and he's right on this one.
You agree? You said Mike is right. Did you hear that? Everybody hear that?
Look at Mikey cheesing up too. He's cheesing. Oh my god! You guys gotta look at his face. He was cheesing. But my point is, I thought Ten Hag would be able to show some type of identity, but the injury situation is so massive, y'all. And then what comes out today, with the a video came out today, and it did the timeline of Malacia. And how the medical staff botched his thing. Did you see that, Mikey? I tagged you into it. I wanted you to see it, but...
Yeah.
But we know these things.
I did not see that. Can you go into that a little bit?
Well, basically, it was just talking about how the medical staff has let Erik ten Hag down. Malacia, with the left-back situation, Erik ten Hag said that he was advised to let Sergio go.
Yeah.
Because Malacia, Shaw was healthy, and Malacia was coming back. So they did the timeline. The video did the timeline where they said, okay, Malacia did the surgery. He's working it out. He's on the grass.
He's this many weeks away.
He's this many weeks away. And then they said, he's on the grass. He'll be available next week. The second day on the grass, they said, and they've already let Reguilon go.
Yeah.
Second day on the grass, Mikey, got to do the surgery over again. So now we only have one healthy left back. Mm-hmm. And that just shows how
competence.
They botched it, gave him bad advice because he went to them for advice. Imani be like, should I keep him?
Mm-hmm.
Should I let him go?
To Timber, right?
They told him, no, let him go. And they compared it to Timber.
Timber, how he got injured prior to Malacia. I mean, after Malacia. And yet he's going to come on the pitch before
Malacia. Malacia's had two surgeries in 1 year.
I mean, that's because
same with Martinez.
Same with Martinez. They want to bring that up.
That just goes to the medical staff just not doing their job correctly of evaluating the players. And really putting their career in jeopardy.
Yep.
And it goes to what you said, Mikey. It's hard for a man to put his system in when he doesn't know who's going to play. I mean, you know, Folsom was hurt now.
Wow. Well, he literally just got ready to play and got put ahead of Ahmad, and he's hurt now?
And that could give us a transition segue into a topic we wanted to discuss, right, Ahmad?
Ahmad.
Oh, Lord.
Before.
Mikey, go ahead. Ahmad is your thing right now.
Why isn't Ahmad playing?
Exactly. Nobody knows.
When you like to say criticize Ten Hag and stuff like that,
I don't criticize him.
You could criticize.
I have manager, questions.
You can criticize whatever you want. It's criticism. It's fine. Criticism is fine when it comes from a good place. Right? This is one of the criticisms I have for Ten Hag because we've seen. First off, we paid money for this kid. We didn't. He's not an academy project. We paid money for him. I think like $30 million from Atalanta. Okay, fine. He comes in. Before he goes on loan, he scores a goal in the Champions League, okay? Goes on loan to Sunderland, tears it up. Come back, gets played in an unnecessary preseason game. I think we played too many of those in the States. Didn't really make sense, but whatever. Gets hurt in it. We don't see him for a while. Now, Ten Hag won't let go of this Antony project enough for this kid to get a run of games and a steady run of games so we can see what he is for the future. This kid is, I don't know how old he is. I want to say he's 23, 24 years old. He's entering that time where you need to see him constantly playing games to know where he is and we can get some worth for him. Even if we're not going to use him, we need to get the worth so we can get our money back if need be. But we don't even get to see that. You know what I'm saying? So for Ten Hag, I need to know what's going on in his head because Ahmad, I think he's a baller. I think he could do things very direct. He has pace. He's also an attacking midfielder. He's as well as a winger. I need to see him more.
And it seemed like he would help this team out.
Well, you can make the connection with our boy. I just went blank on the right now playing instead of Anthony.
Garnacho.
Sorry. No, we all sat here and asked the question, why isn't Ten Hag playing Garnacho? Why isn't Ten Hag playing Garnacho? Mm-hmm. And he managed, Garnacho was coming on for 2 minutes at the end of the game, 5 minutes, or just sitting on the bench.
Yeah, but Ma don't even get that.
Yeah, he did. He's getting a couple of minutes here and there. It's pretty parallel to what Garnacho was getting. So? I think so. I think it's because you have to understand, Ten Hag rightfully try to stick with that Antony project for way too long.
True.
But once he saw how effective Garnacho can be on the right, he's pretty much abandoned it, and he's bringing, you know, Antony on in the 70th, 80th minute, but he's managing Ahmad in the same way he
but
did Garnacho.
But don't you think Ahmad is a more mature player than Garnacho was at that stage, and he should be just, like, trusted with more time, even starts?
I think you have to trust that Ten Hag thinks he knows. He has his blueprint for introducing youngsters into the team. He's seen it work with Garnacho, and he's like, why, you know, reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, and then Sancho was also being a something-something.
I mean, Ten Hag has given opportunities to the young lads, right?
Right.
Kobbie Mainoo, Garnacho, Folsom, right? He just recently got injured, but that is that mysterious question mark as why isn't Ahmad given that chance?
I think
more so because he's a little older now, right? And he isn't an academy player, so is he not given that leeway or that benefit of the doubt like an academy player? So
I think the depth in those positions is why. Because when you talk about Kobbie Mainoo in the mid, you talk about Kamwala in the back where we've been decimated by injury. They've come up in the pecking order because of those situations. But on that right, you do have Garnacho, Rashford, who can play there. Garnacho, who can play there. Antony, who's, you know, got this, you know, money tag on him. And so Ahmad is a little further down in the pecking order, and perhaps that's why he's not. Whereas in the other positions, you're like, there's no one else. You know, Erickson was hurt. You know, McTominay can do what he, you know, he needed to do. So who's next? Kobe.
Does anyone still feel that we're using Scotty wrong?
Like when we put him in midfield?
Yeah. He shouldn't be in the midfield.
No.
Liability. Defensive liability, for sure.
I just remember after this game, it was a weird vibe, Mikey. You know, we're usually more jovial. Like, hey, when people are just like, I'm about to go home, bro. I don't even know what we just watched. You know, it was like, and then in part, you know, we couldn't drink for a while.
Exactly. Everybody, we had to watch, like, that game sober.
It was such a weird vibe for a victory. Yeah. It was such a, then shout out to Mark. Mark gets mad at us because we said that it wasn't a good win. And it wasn't a good win. I mean, trust me, from that game, what hope do you have going into the next game? And you know who the next game is. Did you, any of you, Mikey, you know what I did? I watched Liverpool versus City.
Wow. Watched a team other than United.
Wow. So Mikey, think I made a comment, Imani. I said, I don't watch all the games.
Right. A few times.
But he takes and runs with it and goes, oh, you don't watch ball. You don't watch ball.
I just, you pick and choose.
Yeah, pick. Thank you, Imani. See, that's why I like Imani around. She gets me. You know, we have Liverpool on the horizon, but Rasmus is coming back. Harry,
allegedly Harry, and
Wan-Bissaka,
who we haven't seen in
a minute,
month and a half.
Now coming back, but is he match fit? Like, is he ready to go?
He said he's ready to go.
Because if he is ready to go, do you put Dolo on the left? And Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, you keep Wan-Bissaka comfortable. Wouldn't you think, though, Mikey? Keep him in his natural spot?
Yep.
I mean, to be honest, once again, we just go back to man for man. We're not better than this Liverpool team.
Right.
Especially with Endo in the midfield, crushing City's midfield to the point where they had to yank KDB off. So when you have to yank the greatest midfielder in the world off, because he didn't have the legs against Endo, this random Japanese kid, it's crazy. It's crazy. So it don't matter who you put there. They just have to show up and play.
That's for 90 minutes, too.
When I saw Kevin De Bruyne get pulled off, I said that would never happen to Bruno.
Hooked him. Yeah. Hooked him clean because they were getting overrun in the midfield.
And he saw that Kevin wasn't happy, sat him down, talked to him.
Yep.
That's the man management difference. Yes. Is it because Pep has been there. He's allowed to do his thing, so he's more comfortable to do it. Because I don't feel like Ten Hag is comfortable doing that yet. I don't think he's at that level.
I think City have other people who can step up to the plate.
Right. Well, that's another thing, too. Right.
And we don't.
Yeah, we don't. It's crushing. I remember people used to call us glory hunters, and I told someone today, I miss being called a glory hunter. That means we're being successful. Yes. I said, call me that. No one calls us that no more. Yeah. They just said we're terrible. What happened to United? And the same thing is going on. I mean, it's like, it's a tough situation. We have Liverpool, then is it Brentford? Or
is it Brentford already?
No. Someone else. Someone is going to reschedule, but
Sheffield needs to be rescheduled.
I mean, we're bringing Rasmus back, and it makes us look different. You guys all agree.
100%.
Agreed.
I mean,
that work rate up top, putting pressure on the defenses, stretching us.
Is anybody concerned? Mikey, are you worried about Rasmus' development? We were talking about it on the ride here.
About Rasmus?
What happened to Rasmus?
Marcus.
He hasn't developed.
I mean, he looked like he was developing last season. He looked like he was breaking through last season.
I think he's at his max.
No way.
I was looking at a stat recently about Rashford in the Prem. I think last season was the only season he had like double digit goals.
No.
In the Prem.
Oh, in the Prem.
In the Prem. He averages like 9 goals a season.
In the Premier League?
For big Man United, our talisman player outside of Bruno Fernandes, the face of our club, is averaging 9 goals a season on the left wing.
Is it? Do you think it's the system has let him down? Do you think
I think we might have overinvested in Rashford a little bit because we want him to be that. And I think that's what I've been saying this whole time. It's like we want these players to be more than what they actually are. But we've run our course with these guys. It's like how Ollie was, when we were at Ollie's interview, he was like, yeah, I think that's all I'm going to get from them. I knew, I said it. And he said it on the interview. He was like, yo, I got everything I could out these guys. This is pretty much it. And I think that's just where we're at. And Rashford just is one of those guys. I think the only guy that could improve more is probably Bruno Fernandes, and he's 29.
Yeah, and I'm in somewhat in agreement with Mikey on that one. I was just talking to Casey about that with Marcus Rashford, it just seems like
talking there isn't.
it seems like there isn't.
There you go.
There isn't any counter that Marcus can give. The only thing is just he just goes direct, but once you give him time to think, there isn't anything else that Marcus Rashford kind of offers. And sometimes as fans, we desire more. We want more out of him. And we don't get that, so we just stay frustrated, especially because he's an academy player. We want him to thrive. So that's the frustration that at least I have with Marcus Rashford. So at least to me, it also seems like it's kind of run that course where we're at a crossroads. I think it's just better for both parties, Manchester United and Marcus Rashford, to have a different, just different venue.
Wow.
At least me. I have been thinking about this for the past like
month. Wow, that's heavy.
To me, it would be beneficial for both parties just to kind of part ways.
Wow, how do y'all feel about that? And I'm not dissident. No. I've heard this.
I'm willing to give him another summer. Like, I'm willing, like, if he can take summer off and, like, go on a retreat and, like, get his head right. I just need, like, all I want to know is, like, but like actually get your head together. Like, don't do it like Sancho. Whatever he did, don't do that. Whatever time off he got, I want the opposite of that. I want him to be like, yo, I want to play for Man United. You're talking all that stuff in the player tribune, right? And talking about
what
how,
is it though? But what is it?
I don't know.
Do you get Marcus of last year scoring 30 goals, scoring for fun? Like, not having to think about the game. Like, every ball that came to his foot ended up in the back of the net.
That part. Wasn't thinking about the game.
But what changed?
Yeah, I don't know.
It ended the season high. What changed?
He doesn't look like someone who's having fun to me.
Nope.
Why?
I don't know if the money brought pressure. I don't know if, you know, he was about to get married. I don't know if that's a stressor. He just seems like a young man to me who's stressed out.
Yeah.
That there's the whole world on him.
His whole crew, Lingard, Pogba, Martial.
First of all, don't talk about Pogba.
I'm just saying, though, but like he doesn't Mason. Have his crew. He don't have his boys,
Sancho.
Really. Yeah.
That was a bad joke. But, yeah, I mean, he's uncomfortable. He doesn't like his surroundings. How you feel, Mikey, about that? You like the parting of the parties? Did that come out right?
Came out.
I'm going to put that on the T-shirt.
I feel like it's a weird thing to talk about because, like, do other teams have this little, like, I don't know. It's a real question. Do other teams have these little posse that they need to have in order to perform?
Well, you know, we are a posse club. Yeah. I don't get it. The player power thing has went rampant in our club. It's very disturbing how we are slow clicky because – I mean, it looks like we have the Portuguese players stay together, and then you have the Danes and the Norwegians stay together, and the Brazilians stay together, and then the English lads stay together, and then you have...
Onana? Onana on his own island?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Onana on his own island.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Cheese, get out. Who does Onana chill with?
That's what I'm saying. Who does he chill with?
The goalkeeping coach.
Yeah. Give that man some love.
He's playing good.
He is.
Listen, we're averaging right now giving up 21 shots a game.
Yeah.
Everton had 23. Am I right or wrong, Mikey? I'm not too sure.
It was in the 20s.
Everton had 23 shots.
Mm-hmm. And a gang load of crosses.
Yeah. And we watch it. We're like, what is all this space? Why do we always look out of sorts, like We're always chasing.
Shell-shocked all the time.
And Casemiro, now that's somebody we really need to think about getting rid of. And it sounds terrible, but his legs are gone.
But, and Ineos, like, that's where they're at, right? Because they're just like, yeah, you pay too much money for these old guys.
Yeah.
Like, take a pay cut. Because they're like, leave.
You can stay if you take a pay cut.
We're not handing out these 350, 400K a week.
Yeah, shouldn't it be like pay cut and 1 year contracts when you get to a certain age?
Amani, how do you feel about Ineos? Because we've said our pieces here. I know Mikey wants to talk about a statement that Ineos said. How do you feel about Ineos?
You know, initially I went into this wanting a full buyout. Like,
we all did.
Just pay them, let them go. But, you know, I feel positive. You know, little things are starting to change, and he's definitely got his hand on the pulse. Like, you know, I give him time. You know, they started where you need to start, in the back office, getting the right people in the right positions, and then you'll handle the player issues and the contracts, but you have to have the management in there. No business can run if you don't have the right people in management to run it, right? At the top,
making
the decisions.
Yeah, we've
and
proven
we haven't.
That.
We haven't. You know,
we've
handing out
that.
Stupid money, you know, for no reason, you know? So I think we're on the right track. The question is, how long is it going to take? The question is, are United fans going to be patient? No, we're not. We're not known for being patient.
What is a good time frame, like a realistic time frame, to you, Mikey, to be patient?
They say they want to win now. So I'm gonna go by what they say because I've already waited 10 years.
Yeah, so, but it's good for them to say now.
So now for me, probably 3-4 years.
Three. I say three.
I think three is a good number.
Three is a good number.
Because I think we need about two summers.
Transfers.
We need two full summers to get guys out of here. And then, and what's tripping me out, I see people all the time, y'all, we're going to get rid of 22 players. It's not going to happen that quick, bro. We'll be lucky to get rid of seven.
Not in one window.
Mm-mm. You know, Sancho's coming back. He's our responsibility to get rid of. Donnie's our responsibility to get rid of. Alvaro Fernandez, who I don't think we should keep. I think we should keep him. So, Mikey, you were saying something about an Ineos statement. Did I read that right?
Yeah, the Ineos saying, you know, people asking, like, what are they, you know, Scholes saying that they're already in.
Oh,
yeah. I heard this. And they're like, well, we didn't say that. there's two parties here. There's two schools of thought, right, or two factions here.
Wait, you're talking about a replacement for Ten Hag?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's the Ten Hag outers that certain players and staff that don't want Ten Hag there. They feel like they've gone as far as they can with Ten Hag. But there's another side that's saying, hey, you know, we should give Ten Hag the backing and then let him prove to us with our backing that he can't do it because he's been hard done by the establishment he's been a part of already. So for me, I'm more of that side, right? I can't judge you with being in the middle of a takeover, right? You performed well for the first half of it, and then the second half it hasn't been as great, even though we're in sixth, you know, with all things considered, injury, drama, all of that. So I'm in two, that's the two schools of thought. I'm with the second one for sure.
I mean, just off the injuries alone, I think he should keep his job. This is only year two.
Yep.
Year two was a crash and burn. I mean, just off that alone, I think he should be given another chance.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm willing to give him a chance just based on his year one results. Because, like, he didn't have these injuries and whatnot. And, like, that's all I want. It's like the direction we were going in after your first year, I wanted that to continue this season.
Yeah. You've seen enough where the progression would be good.
So that's, like, I'm willing to give him another chance if we can get back on that trajectory because, like, life was good.
How about you? How do you feel about the coaching changing subject?
I'm one more year.
One more year. It has to be. It does not make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does not make sense. I mean, he's had so much against him. I mean, the off-field issues to the Sancho issue. And
every manager is going to have some good signings and some bad signings. You're not going to get it all 100% right.
That's
right?
Where I perk up.
You're not going to always get it right. And some of his signings...
Yeah, because he ain't got it right.
Well, he didn't, you know, a couple. But Rasmus looks the real deal.
He looks the real deal, but right? We also
Martinez looks the real deal. Medical staff, you know, mistake here. That well, and then that freak, you know, tackle that put him back in, you know, on in that's IR. Right. Right. So, I mean, he's, you know, you forgive him for – Mount hasn't been healthy.
Mount will be back, though.
But he'll be back.
Mount's not going to be back this season. In case you missed it, because I've already said this.
Not this season, but he will be back, you know.
Mount's coming back.
He's not playing for us.
I don't think he's playing this season.
You don't think he's going to play this season? 10 games. You don't think it's even worth it?
No.
Is he on the grass?
Yeah, he's on the grass today.
But we haven't seen him.
He's on the grass today. They said he'll be back for international break. After international break.
Oh, yeah, didn't hear that. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with y'all. I'm very skeptical about him because listen. The Mount signing is a tough one because he was injured before he came here.
Right.
He had injury problems, but Ten Hag wanted him, and you know. I think they let him down. Ten Hag wanted some other people, but Mount was the one. I think he really wanted Mount, though, because he pushed for him. But
he pushed for him. I read somewhere that Ten Hag has this list of 45 characteristics he likes in a player, and Mount
really
fit like 95% of it.
Interesting. Because you were saying, how come they don't do what Pep does? Pep has these things where he looks for players. So Ten Hag has that. So what happened with Anthony? What? How much percent does he cover?
Personal life. Let's just chalk that up to personal life.
Really,
dude, you gave Ajax 24 goals and 22 assists. We can't get half of that.
It's a different argument
to that. It's a different league.
Different league.
Different league.
But it's the same game.
Biggest personal life.
It's the same.
All I'm saying is like,
hold on, Mikey, trying to chime in.
I had Ajax guys. I talked to a few of them. Beforehand, because I'm not gonna lie and say like I watched the Eredivisie and I knew what he was doing. No, so I asked a few people that I know that like Ajax, and they were like, "Why are you guys buying him for that price? He's not as good as that. He's probably 45 million tops, like 90 million, 100 million dollars is crazy. He's not, and apparently he was on a decline from that big scoring amount, but he has this." People were like, why don't you go for Kudus?
Oh, he's much better. Mm-hmm.
That's my boy.
I was looking for Kudus, too.
Your favorite, Mina.
He's kind of dying out. That's my guy, boy. Now, but Kudus is a way better player than
he went for 45.
Way more durable.
Yeah, West Ham?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with the Anthony situation. With the Anthony situation. This is where you have to blame the back office at Manchester United.
Of course.
Because Ten Hag wanted him.
Right.
But Ten Hag did not want to pay $100 million for him.
No.
So whose fault is it then? Because now we have this huge price tag on a $30 million, $40 million player who's not going to live up to that price tag ever.
Ever.
So let's forget the money. He's an average player. Let's just forget how much because that's not Ten Hag's fault. That's not our fault.
It's not the player's fault either. It's like the player has to live up to that expectation. But like,
just he held out.
He's not that type of player.
Remember, he held out, wouldn't train with him no more because he wanted to come. So we shouldn't even have to pay that much. You'd be like, listen, he wanted to come here. So
he just wanted to come. And he will give you that. And one thing I appreciate about Anthony, he will give you the effort. 110. There's a quote I heard, if you find a player who gives you 100% in one category. Someone said sign him. That's something I heard a couple of days ago. Anthony will give you 100% energy.
Yeah, and he plays defense. He gets back.
Yeah. He tracks back.
That's a prerequisite.
I know. We know this. But when you...
That doesn't happen with all of our players. Rashford doesn't do it, so you know. Rashford was at Sancho as well. So.
Mikey, but you know what we're asking for right now. Please get back on defense. Scotty still ain't got back on defense to this moment.
Please pay a 5-yard pass to a man without giving it to the defender.
Yeah. Who on this team would you realistically keep?
Bruno.
Really?
Bruno.
Rasmus.
Garnacho.
Yep.
Martinez.
Minos.
Kobe.
Yeah. Kobe. Yep.
Who else?
I'd keep DeLow, too.
I would keep Ahmad.
Dalot's getting better.
D Diego Dalot might be our player of the year.
He's been the most consistent player ever.
I was an Aaron Wan-Bissaka guy. Like, nah, he's better, way better than
Dalot. And I've always been the Dalot guy, more so. Because he showed a little bit more promise with his game. More versatility.
Rasmus is our player of the year.
Who?
Rasmus might be our player of the year.
This is going to sound harsh. I love Rasmus, but I don't like when you bring guys in injured. I just don't like it. And he's had injury problems, what, twice this year?
He's young.
Listen, whoever's doing our assessment on injuries and bringing players in, fired.
Yep, I'm with that.
Fire them.
I'd also check their bank accounts. Just in case they're taking money.
You know, me
too. I'm
just
saying, it could be
point other clubs
literally be like, yo, see the money here for sick man you. Send it to the medical staff. You know what to do. Mess up that report. Mess up this report. Give him the wrong medication. Here's your bag of money.
Or it's either that or underplaying the injury.
So yeah.
Like, oh, he'll be out a week. Just an ice pack on his back. He'll be out there tomorrow. And it turned out to be a back injury that kept down for, what, 6 games? Something like that?
I don't know why, but I always feel like Roman Abramovich has been trying to sabotage us and be like, we'll just be like, yo, here's money. Mission, sink money.
You know, he's KGB, I think.
Exactly.
Let's stop. I don't want that smoke. I don't want no KGB smoke. I'm joking.
But I'm saying that our medical staff is taking money from somebody.
Let's go back to this Ten Hag list. How does Sofane fit on that list?
Oh, he's got to go back.
He looked like he's been on cookie dough the whole time.
Molasses.
Like, he injects cookie dough. He just looks so soft.
He was so excited to play for United, he forgot to play for United.
Mm-hmm. I know. Now they're like, nah, we don't want him. He got to go.
To be fair, I'll give him a little
out of position.
Give him a little bit. Like, he's lost. No one we've put on the left has been able to
play. Has he played midfield for us yet, Mikey?
Not really.
Barely. He played holding maybe twice. Like, in front of the defense.
Yeah.
He did, like, holding two, like, maybe twice.
Right.
Every other time has been.
And when he has, you can see his qualities. Some of the passing, but you have him on the left. Like,
he's lost.
He's just lost.
Let's say you can see his attributes. Don't say the word quality.
You can see his potential. You can see his potential.
What you say, Mikey?
Think about it like this. We asked Lindelof to do the same job. And he manages not to give the ball to Haaland for the entire game.
Yeah. Touche, Mikey. Touche.
Yeah, that was a crazy play, too.
He came on and just handed it. He just handed the ball over.
It was put on a plate, too. Like, oh, you want to assist?
Touch of the game for him, and he just says, Haaland, here you go.
Oh, man.
Here's a tricky question. It's top.
No, we're not getting top four. We are not getting top four.
I wasn't going to say four.
We're not getting it unless... Who's above us? Tottenham and Villa?
Do you think we should even try to push...
Isn't it double digits? Isn't it like the point?
Yeah, we're not catching Villa. They're 11.
7 and 3 or something. No, Villa lost.
Villa lost.
We need 5.
We need 5?
We need to be top 5 because...
Or cash out. If we, because
defending,
what gets you to Europe or Conference 6?
Yeah,
well, we don't want none
of that. I don't want none of that. That's what I'm saying. I don't want none of that.
Let's get 7.
Give me 8th place.
You know, it's
a Mamba year. Finish in 8th place.
You know, we play Arsenal last game of the season. We could determine who wins the Premier League. So would you?
They're already going to have the title wrapped up by then.
You think so?
Just saying.
Nah.
It's Gunners' year.
They're not going to have it wrapped up. Are you mad? You're mad.
Throw that game against Arsenal.
You must have run some Arsenal people.
I want them to win it.
Throw that game against Arsenal. A win to get top 4.
What evil you want to win it?
Not City, not Liverpool.
What Mike is going to say?
So you rather... Liverpool get 20.
No.
No.
Exactly.
Or City win it 4 years in a row.
No.
Exactly.
No. No
way. I feel like City going to get punishment anyway.
But Mikey, come on, my question for you is, if we're in the position that we could win that final game of the season and get fourth place, but Arsenal lose the title.
Amani, don't say fourth.
What?
I mean, no, I'm just saying. I'm asking Mikey.
That's the scenario.
I'm asking Mikey because that's a nightmare I had.
I don't want to be in Europe. I don't really care to be in Europe.
That's a fair. I've heard a lot of Reds say that. Because, you know, because
it's embarrassing.
If anything, we get Europa League and we test out some more kids.
I don't even want to
know. I wouldn't mind being in Europa League. It's that Europa conference thing where you're going to play teams from like Scotland and you play all the teams in Celtic League and all them things.
Yeah.
Kazakhstan.
No pasture for you.
You know, where you need two passports to go watch a game. If this one ain't current, you can't even go. it's a tough one. But, you know, our financials came out today, by the way. We're still
in debt, yeah?
Yeah, 700.
It's gone up.
Course.
If you win the lotto, you couldn't even fix it.
Go Glazers.
Dennis Cusack got on me today. He said, "Why you keep blaming the Glazers?" What do you mean?
Really?
Yeah.
Read any article.
I'm mad at all of you because I'm the only one who calls him out on this.
I just don't like to get into it on Facebook, though. Like, I don't have time to be like, some people go nonsense. In. Yeah.
I'll start some posts to start beef, and then I'll leave, and I'll go away. Go about my business.
Sean said Arsenal play Everton last game of the season.
Our last home game.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I guess the one evil I would pick out of that group is, I guess, Arsenal.
Yeah.
But I feel like City's going to get punished. So whatever they do to me, it doesn't matter.
And I punish.
Yeah, but
from
like, does
officials?
That matter though? Like
this century?
Like,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's like taking away Reggie Bush's Heisman. You still know he was the best player that year.
Yeah, but Reggie Bush, that did not listen. City's cheating helped them get better on the pitch. Because, for example, Pep was allowed to throw away players, spend money, and build a roster. Reggie Bush was individually amazing.
Who was the English goalie they just signed to sit on the bench just so they could have the required number of English players on the team? Who does that? City.
Oh.
But see, they fudged the books, and that allowed them to build a super squad. So I understand what you're saying, Mikey. Does it matter? To me, yes. I'm going to say yes. To me, it matters because they were allowed to pick and choose when other people can't pick and choose. Because
we had a chance to stop them from winning the FA Cup. We didn't do that.
You're right.
Arsenal had a chance to stop them from winning the league. They didn't do that.
You're right.
So,
and City don't pay stupid money for players either.
All got to go in the net.
No, City stays around the 70 to 80 range. Like, they have one who's Jack Grealish is not 100.
He's 100. He's 100.
They
paid a lot of money, but they don't typically overpay for players.
And they get away with it, though. But, you know, the system is in place, too. So I know what you're saying. I really can't diss City too tough. But the system is in place. But
a lot of the charges are from, like, before all of this. It's, like, it's from 08 to 2016. So, like, this stuff now is happening to us chargeless. Apparently.
No.
But isn't that – 08 to 2018. But wouldn't you say that, Mikey, all that was done was to help them now?
They did it last year.
Yeah.
I don't like City. I'm sorry. I'm taking this personal with City.
They were able to get a head start on that. That's why they're this good.
Listen, I'm never going to cry about the guy who's cheating to win. If I had a chance to beat you, the ball got to go in the goal the same way. De Gea should have stopped that penalty, should have stopped that shot that he should have stopped in the FA Cup. He could have did that, didn't do it. We had a chance in that game to win and stop them from winning the treble.
No lies.
We didn't do it. It don't matter.
I forgot to get the sponsor.
The guy that was watching them in the second division 20 years ago cares about cheating up on the blue side of Manchester? Hell no, they don't care.
No, they don't care at all. They really don't care.
They don't care. I talked to a lot of those blues over there, and they're like, yeah, man, I used to watch them go and play Grimsby Town in the third division. I could care less about 115. Make it 130.
All right, well, today's show is brought to you by Bullhorn & Mulukian LLP, one of the finest law firms in the state of California, with a 98% success rate to deal with personal injury, wrongful death, wrongful fire. Just don't murder anybody. They don't like dealing with those type of cases. With a 98% success rate, call them at 747-444-4444. Ask for Ashat, Haik, Vahe, Ani, and I believe that's all of the lawyers. one of the best law firms. Like I said, they handled my sister. Did that come out right?
Yes.
Because you know, y'all yes. say I do questionable stuff. My roommate and our neighbor, and they're all very happy. I'm not going to tell you what happened because somehow I've made that sexual when I tell you about their cases. So, Bolorian Milukian LLP, call them again. Call them, get the free consultation. Everybody, this is the show. I had to wrap it up. Imani, we're going to try and get more sponsorship unless MULA wants to sponsor us for another hour. That way we can keep it going.
But I got $5 on it.
That's a start. That's a start. Mikey, my brother in the South, thank you. Great show.
Thanks for having me once again.
Cheese, you made it. Your eyes look clear. You look good.
Focus. This is Germ. Focus.
Imani, this is good. We learned a lot today. We appreciate you. I'm going to take you one more time and give you your flowers because you have to deal with a lot of entities, a lot of different characters.
Misguided labor of love. Yeah. That's all I call it.
And you do it for us. You do it for us. It's not a personal thing. And we love our... We can't call it Prezi. I love Prezi. You did that.
Prezi.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Long live the Prez.
Long live the Prez. Everybody, this has been another episode of It's Casual. Thank you for tuning in. Like, share, subscribe, comment. And you guys always do it late, and I appreciate that. One love, everybody. Up the Reds, beat the Scousers. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
You're listening to It's Casual with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.